We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter. This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. It's Media Day, which is obviously a huge day for the Minnesota Timberwolves this year. Actually, in two parts, we just had an Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry introductory press conference, obviously on the heels of a Gerson Rosa's dismissal that happened last Wednesday. So this was a loaded event here before Media Day even starts. So I'm here with Kyle Tighe of CanisHoopis.com. We're going to do two separate podcasts today. This, again, is just right after the Glenn Taylor, Mark Lowry, and Alex Rodriguez introductory press conference. We'll talk about everything that just happened here kind of in the last hour. And then, you know, we're going to have some lunch. We're going to go, then we'll go talk to all the Timberwolves players. So if any of this is sounding tone deaf in relation to what the players have gone on to say, know that it's 11:21 a.m. here in Minneapolis. So, Kyle Tighe, how are you? What did you take away from this press conference?
Well, thanks for having me. Again, if you missed the press conference, it's pretty short, but kind of basic, right? Like, they hit on all the things they had to hit on. Again, it was streamed live, so this is kind of public knowledge to everyone. But Glenn Taylor started it off by doing two main things that, in hindsight, all the chaos from last week and all of the transaction rumor chaos of the last 2 months, he nipped that in the bud right away. He said two things. He said, one, what happened last week with some employees that were let go. Legally, we can't talk about that. And to some, that might sound like a cop-out, but that's also like kind of like makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there is legal stuff going on when you have a situation like that. So it kind of gave them an out to not have to talk about it, right? And then two, he referenced, you know, just a reminder, we can't talk about players that are contracted on other teams. And he looked at me kind of and winked and was like, we can't ask Ben Simmons questions. So in an ironic twist of fate, while we thought last week's whole chaos was going to lead to like a crazy new ownership press conference, it kind of covered them, right? Because they didn't have to answer any questions about Rosas. They didn't have to answer any questions about Ben Simmons. And they just kind of outlined, as we'll go into, who makes the decisions,
right?
Like, who's in charge right now? What's the plan long term? Where's the team and teams going to be long term? And some stadium stuff. So that was kind of the outline of it before we get into our biggest takes. But I thought it was interesting that Glenn wanted to make it a point that, listen, I don't know if we're going to hear that. I mean, we'll hear the name Gerson Rosas asked today to multiple players, but I don't think anyone will comment on it.
I don't think so either. I mean, if it was nipped in the bud, if those three aren't going to talk about it, I don't think explicitly we'll have anybody talking about it because it is a, you know, a legal issue. I thought a lot just kind of in the days since Wednesday when Rosas was fired to, you know, to now today on Monday, thinking about how different like a Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez introductory press conference is in, you know, in light of all of this. Normally, you know, let's magically delete all that drama ever happening. This press conference, I think, would be a lot about the future of the Timberwolves, right? Like, as big as, are they staying here? What are your motivations with this team going forward? I think back to when, you know, Clay Bennett bought the Seattle Sonics and eventually moved them to Oklahoma City. That introductory press conference was all questions from the Seattle media about that. And it was the first real sign that, you know, these guys from Oklahoma City might not, you know, might not have the best motivations for where they're going with this franchise. And so, again, without the drama, I think that would have been a lot more of the focus of today is what is the future of the Timberwolves? Instead, it was obviously a lot more about the present and, you know, what the hell's going on right now, kind of. And what are you going to do to make this a competent team in the next week, month, year, right? You know, that seemed to be a lot of the focus. But, you know, there were some questions in there about that. Like, at the end of the day, if they're not going to talk about Rosas, they're going to, you know, they're going to talk, say they love Minnesota. But there were also questions about the team staying here. And it was, you know, as on the record as we've heard anyone be, where Alex Rodriguez, you know, said they have no intent. Do you have the direct quote there in front of you?
He had the direct quote where he's like, we have no intentions of moving the team. And again, I think, yeah, you know, if you're listening to this and maybe you're a Lynx fan, I'm a Lynx fan. I'm important to announce too, like, this, it was Timberwolves focus because it is Timberwolves media day, but they went on to comment a lot about the success of the Lynx and all those things. But yeah, I mean, asked straight directly, you know, the rumors, the potential for moving, all that stuff. And Rodriguez, unlike in the past when they weren't, you know, officially announced yet, or they were kind of just hovering around this rumored ownership thing, Alex Rodriguez, fresh off of Sunday Night Baseball, flew in and said, hey, we are not moving the team. We love this market.
And I will note one thing for the conspiracy theorists out there. Mark Lowry did not comment on that and has not yet spoken on the record explicitly about the team not moving. But one of the owners has.
Yeah,
so they're on the record.
Alex Rodriguez jumped in and said, we have no plans to move. Our plan is to be right here. And then that's where Mark
Lowry... Which is great news if you're a Timberwolves fan today.
And if you're a cynic, though, right? Because that's what Wolves fans have grown to be, which is fair. That's the only thing they could say, right? Like, I don't think that eliminates... Because they, you know, I think it might have been in the scrum later on where we're just talking to Mark Lowry by himself, not on stage. But, you know, the couple times they referenced stadium stuff and how he mentioned that's in the back of their mind. It's not like a new stadium is going to be discussed February 2022. But that's also common knowledge, too, if you follow how sports work. Like, new ownership comes in. At some point, they're going to want to upgrade, right? And they're going to have that whole debate.
Well, particularly when, I mean, we're sitting here looking out this window at Target Center. This is an old stadium.
Yeah.
That has a nice, like, $200 million candy shell that was put on it, like, 5 years ago. But at the end of the day, in the greater context of the 30 teams in the NBA, or 30 stadiums in the NBA, this is one of, if not the stadium that is most ready for an upgrade, right?
Right.
So yeah, that is the future of this team. Those are the questions that have to be answered about public funding and all those sort of things related to a stadium. But I think, and as most listeners know who have, you know, listened to me over the course of this whole kind of saga since A-Rod and Lowry were taken over, you know, I came in very skeptical about their motivations ultimately with what they were going to do with this team. And through conversations over the past, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 months? And then today, like, even for a skeptic like me, I think this is as confident as you can be as a Minnesotan that, you know, that the Timberwolves are going to be here, that they are going to be, that there's going to be a lot of intention from Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry to make this team an organization better right now, to be an organization that can be profitable in Minnesota. At the end of the day, they're one of the least valuable franchises in the 13th biggest market. There's room to make money there. They can make money by being successful here in Minnesota. Maybe even more than they could by moving the team. So yeah, as somebody who wants the team to be here, I want my job and all of those sort of things. I'm encouraged by that. Obviously, it's something we're going to track over many years. But yeah, today was a lot more about the immediate, and while they couldn't talk about, you know, Rosas explicitly, I think we heard Mark Lowry, right, talk a lot about how a lot of this crap has got to change. And
so, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. Again, I don't want to rehash something that maybe people watch because I'm kind of giving you my analysis of a press conference, but it was, for better or worse, an old new. I mean, I know Glenn Taylor has, as he comfortably told everyone, he has 80 businesses. It was a newspaper owner talking first, and then like big tech talking second. You know what I mean? Like, Glenn Taylor referenced his wife and her cooking and just like real down to earth mom and pop stuff. And then Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez hit us. Actually, Mark Lowry really hit you with the words, right? The catchphrases, the vision, the
people. Yep.
Yeah, those his core values. And then Alex Rodriguez, whether or not you're a big A-Rod fan coming into this, I mean, it's still like I was kicking you during the press conference. Like, this is fucking wild that Alex Rodriguez owns the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Like, that in and of itself is just a mad lib.
Yeah, it was kind of like, for me too, it was the first time that really became
real.
Because, like...
And he has a presence. Like, I mean, yeah, it's A-Rod.
He does.
You know what I mean? Like, he has a presence. Whatever you thought about his baseball career, when that guy walks in the room, he just has a crisp suit and he's tan and he's just like, just... because that was the one thing too I kind of took away, like, if how the press conference was set up. You and I were in like row three, but to the right of us were two rows of players. And when Glenn's talking, it's kind of like, you know, when you're in school, right, and the teacher's talking. And when Mark Lurie's talking,
yeah,
it's like when a speaker at school is talking. But when A-Rod's talking, it was like when A-Rod came to school to talk to the players, because the players were 100% like, I mean, they look up to A-Rod. Even though, like, a guy like Ant has, you know, famously said that he doesn't really know who he is, Carl was locked in. I mean, you saw him sitting front row. It's just those guys are drawn to what Alex Rodriguez has to say. And I think it's going to be a really interesting dynamic, right? As Glenn starts to pull away and Mark Lurie and A-Rod start to sit in the front of the car and drive it. Lurie has all these business ideas and these strategy and stuff. A-Rod is going to be like what we kind of, in my mind, push back on this. A-Rod's going to kind of be what we thought KG would always be, right? Like, if he ever got into ownership, is like, he is going to be the guy in recruitment pitches.
A-Rod talked about how Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson are his mentors, who he's talked about.
Yeah.
With this, you know, if you didn't see this part, this was like, we did scrums, which is, I mean, it's little mini interviews with Mark
Lurie
and Alex Rodriguez.
Piled around one guy at a time.
Very COVID safe. I had that struck me as well too, of that he's going to be a presence here. When I've been saying, you know, for the past few months, like, Mark Lurie is going to be running the show. I still feel that, but it is going to be like a tag team in ways between those two. Of, yeah, like they have different strengths, right?
This is a poor analogy, but it holds like 1% of truth. It's going to be like, I don't think Dirk Nowitzki has any ownership in the Mavs. But, like, he was just recently brought on, you know, to be, like, that consultant or whatever. But it's, like, a Cuban Dirk. They were the ones that flew to Luka, right? Like, Alex Rodriguez owns the team, but I have that dynamic, too, because I think Mark Lurie is going to be on the Steve Ballmer, Mark Cuban level of, like, we're going to hear a lot from him. I mean, no, Glenn Taylor, it's not just going to be in an occasional podcast or occasional little snippet. Like, I think Mark Lurie is going to be everywhere. And he said that too. Like, I think he already owns property here. Like, he's going to be here a lot. A lot of people asked him, are you going to be at any games? And he was, I'm going to be at a lot of games. So,
and A-Rod said, he goes, this is our biggest investment. We've invested in a lot of things.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
yeah, this, like, financially, this is our biggest investment. It would, which you think about it, it would be kind of, if this is your $1.5 billion investment. I know they're not that, they did invest $1.5 billion in this, but comparatively to another startup that Mark has or this and that, like, their money and reputation is on the line based on this, you know? So I do think we'll see them be present here. And,
well, I mean, I joked about this, right? But, like, you and I were at a bar last night and, like, Sunday Night Baseball was on and A-Rod was doing it.
Yeah.
And he has, I mean, the A-Rod Corp, right? He has no problem getting on a jet and getting everywhere. So you might have seen him in Boston last night, but he was here this morning bright and early looking great, chugging coffee. So I do think they'll be here. And they did make multiple mentions to kind of like untapped potential for the market. And they talked about all the Fortune 500 companies here and stuff. So again, it kind of goes back to this like old school thinking. I mean, when Glenn Taylor talks, it just because, and he references himself, not me, that he is 80. It's like listening to your grandpa talk, right? That's what it's like. And then hearing A-Rod and Mark Lurie talk, it's like going to business school. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. Well, I guess, you know, this is the perfect way to pivot, but there was like four questions that I'm not sure I got an answer to, and maybe you did better because Dane's so much closer to the scrum than I am. Like, what did you think about the decision-making questions? Because that kept coming up. Like, right now today, who's making the decisions?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the question I did ask Mark, because my question, as somebody who lives much more in the present of like the beat of what is going on with this team right now, like, what I'm really interested in is, like, yeah, these are big picture ownership questions of adding technology into the stadium, maybe building a new stadium at some point, you know, creating a culture, vision, capital, people, all those things. Those are pretty down the line sort of things right now. My biggest question is, who's running the basketball stuff, and what, like, who are they? right? You know, who are they consulting about making long-term basketball decisions or immediate basketball decisions? And Mark was very direct when I asked
direct.
About that. Sasha.
Sashin. Like, it was a couple questions that Mark had to think about for a sec because he had to go through and kind of regroup. I mean, because those are tough situations when you're getting peppered with questions. But when it came to, so who's in charge of, like, who do you lean on, I think was the question in the scrum for basketball decisions. And he looked at the straight Sashin Gupta. Like, it was not, and that was emphasized all day. And you kind of just being in the building and feeling the vibe. It's, I don't know how long term it is, but this is Sashin Gupta's team.
Yeah, well, I would say just even since Wednesday, you know, I think we all kind of came in with the initial understanding that at a minimum, you know, Sashin was the interim, you know, president of basketball head decision maker, right? And, you know, to some extent, you know, I tweeted out something along the lines of how he doesn't have an interim tag and, you know, people have fun with it of like, oh yeah, not interim, just temporarily, which is fair. Like, right. I hear, you know, I hear that he's not guaranteed to be the head basketball decision maker for the indeterminate amount of, like, long-term period of time. Like, he might be, but I think if you're a Timberwolves fan over these not even week, I think what you can glean, or what I have gleaned, is that they're more committed to Sashin Gupta than I would have thought on Wednesday. And I know that a big part of that is the relationship that Mark and Sashin do have, that, you know, I mean, Mark has been pretty active behind the scenes since, you know, the spring when the news initially broke that they're going to be minority and someday majority owners. Like, and Sasha's been one of those people he's been in contact with. And so there is, you know, this is crazy times. You know, I don't think they expected all of this to happen 6 days before the season and everything. But I think it's good for the basketball team that you have a pretty competent person in place in Sashin Gupta, who's a competent in skill set of what he has, but also in, like, ongoing understanding of what is going on in the basketball operations department. And I think Mark sees value in that, at least for the next year. And then, you know, let's reassess in a year.
And he had mentioned something too about, like, someone asked him when fans can start to expect to see change. And he had given a 12-month kind of thing. But I think that might have been, you know, I flew in yesterday, whatever, you picked me up. I flew in from Portland. I think that was one of my biggest things that I've taken from living on the West Coast and following this team from afar, that just, like, this was the introductory press conference for Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez, but this was not the first time that these people have interacted with the organization. Like, and sometimes you don't know that because if what you don't see, you can't grasp.
Totally.
But, like, Mark Laurie doesn't tweet much and he's tweeting about Tolosa or whatever, but, like, He was not just meeting media members today or the front office. I mean, they had handshakes, right? Like, he knows these people. He's doing a lot of work behind the scenes. September 27th was not the first day that Mark Laurie stepped into this building and interacted with these people. I mean, he's been working behind the scenes. And I'm not trying to, like, boost him up. I'm just saying that was interesting for me from being out there now to being on the ground, is like seeing, oh, this guy's been working. And that, you know, Alex Rodriguez might be a little different again, because that dynamic is going to be, you know, one guy's going to be doing a little more day to day and maybe one guy's doing a little bit week to week. But it was really interesting to me to see how connected Mark Laurie was to the media, to the, you know, basketball ops people, to the players. I mean, he knows them all. He's spoken to them. So I thought that was a really interesting dynamic.
Let's take a quick break and then, like, talk a little bit more about what the scene of kind of what today just looked like at Target Center, because I thought that was unique too. So we'll be back in 1 second.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? you won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're back with Kyle Tighe of CanisHoopus.com. Again, we're recording this right after the Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry introductory press conference. After this, we have Media Day, where all the players, I think, except for Patrick Beverley, who was just traveling, other than him, are going to speak.
I think he's at Italy like or Milan Fashion Week.
Yes, so I don't think Patrick Beverley, for one reason or another, will be speaking today. But that's the next step of this day. Kyle and I will do another podcast this evening, kind of reacting to all of this. But Kyle, I thought it was just, particularly for me, somebody who does live here and has been covering this team, we've had very few in-person media anythings over the past, 18 months or so. And today it was pretty powerful to see, I don't know if powerful is the right word, but just like different to see the entire, Timberwolves organization here at this press conference, including pretty much all of the players there in person, even if they looked like a lot of them were just rolling out of bed. Carl was wearing a robe.
Yeah, but he was up putting in miles at 5:30. I saw on Instagram.
So okay.
He got his work in before we did.
But yeah, what was just kind of like, I don't know if we really envisioned, I didn't envision, have any vision of what today was going to really look like. What did it kind of like come together and look like for you?
This is prefaced all the time, right? By like, we joke about it, but like I'm an optimist. I'm still a fan at heart, right? That what I do versus what Dane does is vastly different. But I think my biggest takeaway too is like I have a lot of relationships too with people in different departments and stuff here. And I just, this media day, we're just on the practice courts. So everyone, when like the big press conference isn't happening, you're just walking around talking to people, right? Catching up. Because like you said, with the pandemic, you haven't seen a lot of these people since, February 2020 or March 2020. Mm-hmm. My biggest takeaway, and I'm again open for your criticism, I don't think it's as much of a shit show as people thought. Like, I mean, I think like what happened last week and removing that situation was, I don't want to say a tumor, but just like there were some people I spoke to this morning that just felt like happier coming to work mm-hmm. and felt like a breath of fresh air that this wasn't hanging over their heads. Cause I mean, this is their job, right? This is where they get paid. This is like, they have cubicles here. This is where they go to work. They knew some of these dynamics going on, maybe more than I did. And it just seemed like today with, again, they're still only projected to win 32 games, right? Like we didn't come into a championship parade this morning, but I felt like what happened last week, they could finally move past and you see new leadership. You see Lori and those guys, like if they would have just danced around questions about how powerful Sasha is, I think that would have been a disaster. Mm. But I think they really empowered Sasha, who I'm really excited about this opportunity. And it was less chaotic than I thought. Now this is, again, let's preface this. This is before the players talk, right? Like, let's see what some of them have to say for part two. But I just thought maybe for once the organization, Mark Lowry said something that stuck out to me in his scrum. He said something about organizations are too quick to hire and too slow to fire. Yeah. And I think what happened last week was an organization that maybe was still too slow to fire, but they did it. They just cut the head off at the top by getting rid of their president of basketball operations. And they weren't going to let what other people thought get into the middle of the season, get into the end of the season. And Mark Lowry emphasized that today by like, listen, we can't be too slow to fire bad people or get rid of bad people. And they did that. And now they move forward with someone that they really believe in.
Yeah. Well, and that, again, that's someone they really believe in is Sasha Gupta. And I think it was interesting for me to see all of the front office members there,
Yeah.
And be able to, for me to say hi to them and, all that, like, reference the Tibbs thing, right? When Tibbs got fired, like his, his top guy on the bench with him was Andy Greer, or Andy Greer, I think was his name, his lead assistant. And when Tibbs was out,
he was out, you know, and those guys left. And then it became, there's a couple of like holdovers, but it was mostly then Ryan's bringing in his own people, some consultants. Randy Whitman was around for a while. Like, at least right now, today, the whole Gershon Rosas front office is still here and is still like committed to working with Sachin, because they all have relationships with Sachin too. I think it would be different if it was, you know, if they would have pulled the Chris Finch here and fired Rosas and brought in a new president of basketball operations from Toronto. You know what I mean? Like the next day. So I think from like a continuity standpoint, and the thing that I think we all really care about right now is like the basketball, you know? It's like, it's go time. The season starts. There's going to be Ben Simmons talks going on. Like, you gotta like play the game right now. And to play the game, you gotta have your personnel like ready to go and make a good trade, or make a good decision not to make a trade, or, you know, put a roster in place to play. Cause this season hasn't become any less important for the future of Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, all for the organization. Like, they've been bad for a long time. You got to go now. And change often is, you know, whether they say three steps back to take two steps forward. I think they're doing everything they can to, however many steps back it is, like, they're making up for it too. And we're back, you know, back in neutral. That's the sense I have right now. You know, again, let's see what the players feel about this. I know for me, the conversations I've had over the past few days with people in the organization are with people in the organization, not the players. You know, right. I haven't had a phone conversation with Jake Layman about what he feels about it. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm
makes
curious.
One of us.
I'm curious about what's, I'm curious about what's next, but I don't know. I authentically don't feel like this team is in dire straits starting training camp tomorrow.
And I think it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, where the situation that happened last week kind of gave them like a meat shield to protect them from having to answer those questions. Cause like you said, there is legal stuff that they still have to iron out. So there will be more here's my grand takeaway. There will be more to come from Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry and Glenn Taylor, right? They haven't really made too many decisions together. There'll still be a lot of press conferences with them down the road. And ideally, if I was running the show, I probably wouldn't have had that press conference today. It looked a lot different today than it would have looked last Monday, but I would have maybe not conjoined the two, but whatever. They got their introduction. They got to do their media thing. We'll hear more from them later. But the thing that stood away, or I took away from today, was when it was done, everyone's standing behind the curtain, right? Or everyone's moving around, interacting. Sachin was like, he's like, I don't know, how tall is Sachin Gupta? 5'6"? He controlled the room.
Under.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, people were coming up to him. He dapped up Ant when Ant walked. I mean, he's the guy. And it's not like whether it's an interim or a temporary or whatever. Like, I think he has been empowered and he looks confident enough that this is his team and everyone wanted to talk to him. So like you said back about like only Gerst is gone, but the rest of the Rosas front office is here. I think they are now all behind Sachin Gupta. And I think that's important because we're 1 week away from the first home preseason game. So like I said, just because you had some chaos and dysfunction last week, the schedule doesn't slow down.
I'm interested to see. I mean, Sachin's going to talk here in about an hour. I'm really interested to see the way in which he carries himself, right? Like the way I entered today was thinking about really three different things. Was what are A-Rod and Lori going to say? What's Sachin going to say? And what's Kat going to say?
Yep.
And then, you know, then there's you sprinkle in Ant probably being funny or something like that. But, you know, those are the three real touch points of today and where things could go in, you know, different directions. We kind of, as you mentioned with Glenn, he kind of nipped it in the bud so that things couldn't get like too crazy.
It was like my grandpa was lecturing me. The way he was just like, we're not going to answer your questions. I was like, all right, cool, dude, whatever.
But, you know, Sachin's going to have his approach to it. And then with that, you know, Sports Illustrated article that came out today, it seems like
this Sports Illustrated article from Michael Pina, who talked about he interviewed Carl and did a whole deep dive kind of onto how he's recovered from, you know, just everything that took place in 2020 with COVID-19 and the loss of his mother. But there's also some questions about, you know, there's
commitment to the
questions.
Organization. Yeah.
And like his commitment to the organization. And he has a quote in there about how basically like if they, this isn't the exact quote, but if they offer me a contract extension or like it's on them, like if they offer that to me I think he said, I for sure want to be here. So that'll come up today as well. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I guess.
Which is a big, like, if people are really concerned about the WTF tweet, you know, like, I don't want to say this is backpedaling, but this is like signaling that Kat is doing what he always does to his credit, which is continue to put faith in the organization. From every firing down the road, you know, he's had his like bits of frustration, but what he's always done is gotten back on and said, I'm in with Ryan. I'm on with Gerson. And I think today we'll see him put his faith in Sasha and his faith in the organization going forward. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Kat's going to go off today, but the signs are in the pattern of his behavior is that, you know, he's not going to cause a ruckus here. And he still, again, views this season as really important for the Timberwolves and for him individually. Like, this isn't a good time for him to be. It would be bad for Karl Anthony Towns' legacy to have like that last Anthony Davis season in New Orleans. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
That would be bad business for him. Even if he ultimately did want him, like, Kat has got to go out and win and get everything he can out of this organization and this team and his teammates and his coach and Sasha and everything. Like, it's go time for Kat, too. And he's the best player on the team. And as someone who wants to see this team do well, like, I think we're going to leave today encouraged about where Kat's at in his head.
Well, yeah, and I think it's important to just, I mean, it's go time for a lot of people, right? Like, and I don't think you just cynically say, well, don't you say that every year? It really is go. I mean, in that article, I think it referenced how Carl was, you know, the famous thing about how a couple of years ago he was the number one guy you'd build a franchise around and how that's dropped. There's some stuff in there about Embiid, about Jokic. Like, guys like him and Russell used to have a higher standing in the league than they do now. Mm-hmm. So it's big for Carl Anthony Towns. It's big for D'Angelo Russell. It's big for a guy like Anthony Edwards who didn't win Rookie of the Year, and his second half was judged kind of as just like garbage time, you know, not
right.
He wasn't playing a lot of hard teams or whatever, just not as meaningful. Same for Chris Finch. I mean, Chris Finch, who, by the way, I wasn't throwing shade at Sasha and Gupta, but Chris Finch is also 7'6". Like, he's a huge human being. And he looks so happy today, but whatever happened last week, he's also more powerful too, right? Like, he's been sure confirmed behind the scenes that this is his team as well. I think the players love him. I mean, Carl had a lot of great things to say in that article on Sports Illustrated, but yeah, I mean, it's just, you could look at every single person and be like, for Sasha being the first like of Indian descent person to be in a role like this, a lot of people now have firm expectations. And it's, if they don't meet those, you know, it's not just like, well, we'll roll it over again next year and we'll say right. The same thing. Like, this is a really unique year because this team, like, with COVID and all the other, and the bubble and all that stuff, it's like the Minnesota Timberwolves have kind of come out of like a hibernation, right? Like, the last 2 years of basketball under Gerson Rosas haven't, in essence, meant that much because, like, they weren't full speed ahead. They weren't pedal to the metal, all gas, no brakes. And I think now with new ownership and a new president or, you know, a new leader in that spot.
And having Ant is so big.
He's like, huge.
That was what I was going to close it on. Like, I, you know, maybe people think this is, he's a lot bigger than a year ago when I saw him in person. I kind of, when Finch said the whole like, oh, he's 6'6" now. And to me, subjectively, my eye test of standing next to him today, he is taller than last year. And I think he weighs 15 more pounds than
he's thick. Yeah. Like, I mean, and like in a good way, but like I know that Monday media day NBA is hashtag muscle watch.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
But like he is thicker. So again, that's just one element, and I'm sure he'll get asked about that later on. But yeah, I think
I will be asking about that.
I think I was just gonna ask him about his dog. I think the biggest takeaways today was, and please jump on me if I'm wrong here, but I think as a fan, because I still take pride in being a fan, it's really easy to be lied to when it's all on Zoom. And it's on tweets. You know what I mean? It's just easy to lie to someone when you're on the phone or when you're not face to face. And if nothing else, I know I'm an optimistic person, but I took away from today that it's not as, there's still problems to address. There's still other organizations that need to be contacted about possible transactions, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's as dysfunctional as maybe we could have thought it would be. And I think they're a little more galvanized by a basic, you know, addition by subtraction. I really think that the way you saw people interact with Sasha and Gupta today gave me real hope, because I, like you, I really just care about the basketball stuff. We'll figure out the Lori Rodriguez Taylor ownership stuff. I mean, Mark Lori mentioned that like their date to officially take over is like December something 2023. Right. Like that, we'll figure that shit out. This whole roster could look different by then. But like for now, Monday, 3 weeks from now when the season tips off, this is Sasha and Gupta and Chris Finch's team. And that's, I think, everyone knows it, and they're empowered to do what they have to do in those roles.
If I'm relatively bullish on this team, it's because I really believe in like four and a half things right now. One of which is Chris Finch. I do believe Chris Finch is 100% going to be a good leader and coach for this team. I believe in Anthony Edwards' future. I think it's easy, you know, to see a real growth coming from him in this year, next year. Like, that just seems fairly obvious. Then, you know, I believe in Karl-Anthony Towns being a very, very talented basketball player that incorporated with Anthony Edwards and Chris Finch. There's a lot of power in that. And then I personally, and I know people, it's, you know, verdict's probably still out for a lot of people on Sasha and Gupta. I believe in Sasha and Gupta. I, you know, going back, having even just followed Sam Hinkie and the process and the Sixers and all that, I think that's how winning on the margins and the way they did, you know, I think that's why Philly's in a place today in 2021 to have made so many mistakes as they have over the past few years. And because of the process, they're still here as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, I believe in Sasha and Gupta there. And then 4.5, like, I'm really interested to see what's coming of D'Angelo Russell, because relative to what I think his perception and standing is on the league, like, if that's a stock, I'm buying it. I think... You know, a lot of this is age and where these guys are at. Like, Cat and D'Lo, like, they're adults, you know? Like, it's go time for them, and I see a lot of talent in D'Angelo. So that there's, like, I think there's just rationally a lot to be optimistic about with this team in the midst of something that would be understandably very, you know, would be understandable to be very pessimistic about where the Wolves are in a PR state right now after firing their president of basketball operations 6 days. It's actually crazy to me how quote unquote positive I feel about this team, given what's transpired here in the past 96 hours, right?
Like I would say, again, as we get ready for lunch and what is a full media day, by the way, I mean, it feels like we've been working all day, but if we have most of all the players will be interviewed and asked questions. But yeah, I mean, I'm not fanboying for the team. I'm not paid by them. But I think if you're looking from a Timberwolves perspective, it's been so far so good. They answered the questions for now.
Yep.
I mean, again, nothing's permanent, right? Like, they have to keep the team here for perpetuity for it to actually matter. But they addressed those questions. They didn't dance around them. And I just thought they came off as real new leadership. And if, you know, not to beat around the bush, but that's what fans like me and hell, even you, right, have been asking for years. Like, this team needed a new direction at the top. Not the guy who decides who's on the roster, but the guy who decides who that guy is, right? Yeah. Glenn Taylor. And today you saw that Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, they're going to come in and they're going to come in firing, no pun intended, and they're going to put their hands on what you just said was their biggest acquisition yet. I mean, these guys are businessmen, and this is the thing that chews up most of their portfolio. And that's going to probably be the thing that chews up most of their time. So I'm excited to see what those two do, how they interact with Glenn over these next 2 years. And I can't wait for Anthony Edwards to make me laugh.
He's Kyle Tighe. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Tighe, T-H-E-I-G-E. I got that right.
Attaboy.
Follow everything he and his team at canishoopas.com do. Again, we're going to come back and talk tonight for kind of a part two of this media day. So look for that either late at night or on, let's say, Tuesday morning, where we'll kind of reflect on the whole day, more focused on what these players have to say. So again, he's Kyle. I'm Dane. Until then, peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah.